So we're going to try to connect Parshas Kisavo to halacha, and certainly the halacha of tshuva this time of year is the main mitzvah to focus on. There is a well-known Yiddish phrase known as shver to zayin a yid. It is shver, it is negative, it is bad, it is difficult to be a Jew. And apparently there is even a play by Shalom Aleichem about the difficulty of Jewish-Gentile relationships in the Russian Empire. Is anyone familiar with this play? Known as It's Hard to Be a Jew? Is that like, Adam, you've seen this play?
No.
Okay, I learned about Shalom Aleichem. I wouldn't be surprised if this play was on some form of modern Jewish history test that I have taken, but I don't remember the play in particular. Let me just admit Carol and Rabbi Weintraub. I wouldn't be surprised if Rabbi Weintraub knows about this play. Here, Rabbi Weintraub, I'm sorry about the Zoom tircha. And Carol, welcome. Rabbi Weintraub, have you ever heard of this play by Shalom Aleichem, It's Hard to Be a Jew? No, I haven't seen it.
Okay.
So there is a well-known Yiddish phrase, and it's well-known that in the earlier part of the 20th century, there were many Jews who struggled in America keeping Shabbos. The famous comment of their employers was, if you don't come to work on Saturday, don't bother coming back to work on Monday. And we understand that to keep this religion, it requires immense discipline and sacrifice. Now, Baruch Hashem, in the year 2020, we have our religious rights, but 100 years ago, it was not exactly the easiest thing in the world to be a Jew in America and to make a living, to be a Jew in America and not experience anti-Semitism. And despite the challenges of this year in particular with anti-Semitism, it is a rather simple lifestyle in America. And I'll tell you one personal story, not personal, but I read in Lieutenant Birnbaum this year that his mother needed to make a parnasa, and the only way for her to survive literally was to work on Shabbos, and she used to be a waitress on Shabbos, and she asked one of the Hasidic Rebbes what she should do, and the Rebbe said, yeah, work on Shabbos, but don't violate any d'oraisas, only violate a d'rabbanan. So she wouldn't write down the orders in the restaurant with a pen and pencil. She would just remember them by heart. And she wouldn't take a tip either. If they left money on the table, she would not take the tip. So just to appreciate the Mesiras Nefesh of the Jews of the, you know, the survivor generation, the earlier part of the 20th century, it's really remarkable. And this Shabbos, we're going to read the Tochacha, and that is a law. The Gemara Masechet Megillah Amud Aleph Amud Beis says, Tanya B'Shimon Ben Elazar Omer, Ezra Tikein Lel Yisrael Sheyu Korin Klalos Shebet Torahs Kohanim. So before Shavuos, we read the Tochacha, we know in Sefer VaYikra, and before Rosh Hashanah, we read the following, Mishnah Torah, meaning we have two, the Tochachas recorded both in Mechukosai and in Kisavo. So Mishnah Torah, Kodem Rosh Hashanah, my time, Amar Abai V'Yitim Reish Lakish, Kedei Shetich LaHashanah V'Klaloseha, beautiful line of Gemara, especially for this time of year, for this year in particular, rather, that we want to end the year with its curses. Our 2020, Tav Shin Peh, has been a year, Rahman al-Islam, filled with klala, COVID-19, anti-Semitism, and tragic deaths in Bergen County in the beginning of the year with crossing, you know, at nighttime. I remember that with the biggest issue we had this year in the earlier part of the year was to wear our reflector belts, right? And little do we know what was coming after that. And the concept is, read the Tochacha before Rosh Hashanah as a symbol that, okay, the Tochacha is before Rosh Hashanah, and by the time Rosh Hashanah comes, it'll be a new start without any more klalos. And the Parsha is intense. We read the week's Parsha, Kisavo, and Hashem says the following. It's really the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's actually the contrast between the first Tochacha and the second one. But what does the Tochacha say? V'haya ka'asher sas Hashem aleichem lehitiv eschem. Just like Hashem will be happy to do good for you, Hashem will also rejoice to destroy you. You'll get kicked out of Israel. I mean, Hashem will be happy to give you reward if you're good, and Hashem will also be happy to punish you if you're bad. It's a very simple equation. We have schar and we have onesh, and they're both valid. Whoa. So if you read the parsha, that's what you find at face value. The stakes are high in this religion, period. Now, the Maharsha does give an optimistic approach on this Gemara, where he says that we specifically want to read Parshas Kisava before Rosh Hashanah, so that we can have next week's Vayelech, right? We're going to have Nisavim and Vayelech to refer to Tshuva. He says, Shela asid yu nigalim ayli ha-tshuva kemefurish Parshas Nitzavim v'shafta ad Hashem. So I just wanted to throw this Maharsha in, because next week when we read about Parshas Nitzavim, we're going to see a promise that the Jewish people will eventually do tshuva. So although we are told in this week's parsha that there will be serious consequences when we sin, there is also a haftacha that the Jewish people will survive, will last, and ultimately will do tshuva, and that is read before Rosh Hashanah as well. So there is an optimistic spin at the end of the story, but this evening I wanted to speak to you about the high voltage of this religion, right? In the same way that Shalom Aleichem wrote that play, It's Hard to Be a Jew, Shver to Zayin a Yid. So yes, the Torah is not all or nothing, but there is an element of all or nothing in our religion. Where does that come out most poignantly in the halacha? By Hilchas Geirus. What do we tell a convert, a non-Jew who wishes to convert? We do not welcome them in with open arms. Rather, if someone wishes to convert to Judaism, the Shulchan Aruch rules, based on earlier sources, right, a little ironic. We ask the individual, what are you looking to convert for? Do you not know meaning the Jewish people are persecuted. They are the butt of the joke. They are downtrodden people who get injured. There are pogroms. There is, Rahman al-Islam, anti-Semitic behavior around. Why would you want to become a Jew? Im amar yodeya ani, if the non-Jew says, yes, I know that, ve'eini kedai, and I'm not worthy, leitchaber yimahem, and I'm still not on that madrega, mekablin oto miyad. That's the guy we want. The guy who says, yes, I understand that the stakes are high in Judaism, and I feel unworthy to be on that madrega, that is a quote-unquote geshmak ager. Wow. And we tell him, hello, shomrim lo, kodim shabasa le midazu, achalta chela bo iata anishkar. So if you had forbidden fats of an animal, right, you had some fat that wasn't kosher, you would not get kares. By the way, chilata Shabbos, last week, if you drove on Shabbos, you went to the Yankee game on Shabbos, iata chayev skila, you would not suffer the death penalty for that. But if you really join our people, so we kind of inform the guy, the stakes are high. You can't eat whatever you want. You can't do whatever you want on Saturday. And he has to agree to schar v'onish. And we also, of course, tell him about the reward of religion. We explain to him that there's olam haba and we live for a higher good. We don't just scare him off. We do also say that there is reward. But this is a great example of where Judaism comes across as a high voltage religion where the stakes are high. And this time of year, we really need to internalize this message where Hashem and Rosh Hashanah is judging us. The stakes are high. And when we step up, Hashem says, okay, I want to give him something good. I'm looking to give. And, you know, if we step up and we get punished, maybe that's also for our own good. And if Hashem sees that we're just not growing, Hashem will punish on a personal level and a commutative level. So this is a very important time of year for us to realize that there is what at stake, and we have to step up. The Nefesh HaChaim gives a wonderful mashal from an earlier source from Rav Chaim Vital, and he says, believe it or not, it's not just about Judaism in general, but actually two individuals can be judged differently. He said, I'm not going to read it inside, but in Perek Shar Aleph, Perek Yidal, the Nefesh HaChaim says that Hashem creates people differently, and for some people the stakes are higher than for others. So you can understand that if Hashem creates a genius and someone who's put in this world to do really big things as a leader of Klal Yisrael, and he fails, so Hashem will be more upset with someone who was created to be quote-unquote a Stam Joe. Meaning, they're different neshamos, they come from different places, on a machshava level, and even on a Kabbalistic level. So there are different avodas of different neshamas. And Hashem will be more strict with the neshamas on a higher level. And here's the mashal from the pre-Eitz Chaim. That is a sefer of Rav Chaim Vital. I tried to find it in its original source and I was not successful. but he quotes it over here, and he says, "Eino dome hamitanev chatzer hamelach lemitanev paltin shel melach." If someone soils the courtyard of the king, that's not as bad. If you what soil the palace of the king, the kol shegein hakise, or let's say you get some dirt on the actual throne, or big day tifarto, the kol shegein haketer. Imagine if you get the king's crown dirty, that's really bad. So he explains that the king has different expectations, where if someone is expected to clean a little bit of dirt, right? And you look, and okay, the courtyard's a little dirty. Okay, the courtyard's a little dirty, not that big of a deal. But if you look at the crown, look at the crown, and the crown is dirty, that's intolerable. Intolerable. You were responsible for cleaning the crown, and you didn't clean the crown? Not okay. So too says the Nefesh HaChaim, people are held to task, and some people are put in this world for quote-unquote crown missions, and some are more lower-level missions. And based on your mission in the world, you are treated with a higher degree of responsibility. So again, another example where we see that there's a high voltage, something at stake, and here we even see that not everyone is even treated equally with this regard, right? And certainly you can't blame someone who didn't have a Jewish education growing up, someone who doesn't know better, right? This might also be a source for someone who was put into this world as a tinok shenishba, that Hashem will not hold them as accountable or accountable at all, because again, Hashem puts different neshamas into the world. So what, you're going to tell me that a innocent Jew from Fairlawn who went to Fairlawn High and only knows that they're Jewish and was told that you're not supposed to eat on Yom Kippur, so, you know, again, what do you want from the person? They don't know any better. So I think the idea is clear. Now, if we also read in the Parsha, we are going to read the famous idea of why all of these curses come upon us, because the Torah says in Perek Chav Ches, Mem Zay, Tachas Asher Elo Avadata, Es Hashem Elokecha Besimcha Uvetuv Leivav Meirov Ko. So ironically, the idea is that we get punished because we were not happy when we served Hashem. And a little bit of an ironic crescendo. The whole reason why you're going to get punished and you're going to get kicked out of land is because you weren't happy to serve God, right? I would have ended the pasuk differently because, you know, you violated one of the worst of eros. And Rav David Zvi Hoffman, as well as others, explains this pasuk to mean it's mida keneged mida. Uba hakasav lomar shekach yeh onsham shel Yisrael. Why is there such a severe punishment? Mida keneged mida. Meaning what? Meaning what? You didn't appreciate how sweet Judaism was. You should have been happy. Do you know what it means to serve Hashem? Do you know what it means to keep the Torah? If you really appreciated the ne'imus of Judaism, you would have been happy to serve me. And since you didn't serve me besimcha, te'aleitz l'kabel alecha ba'al korchacha es avodas oivecha kosher ve'hamar. Now you have to be subservient to other kingdoms and subjugated to the rulership of tyrannies and anti-Semitic religions. Wow. And the idea again is that yes, are the stakes high? 1,000%. But what should our response be? We embrace that responsibility. Like that ger who says, I know the stakes are high and that's what I want. I feel unworthy to be a Jew. How beautiful it is to be a Jew. And you sign on anyway, even though, yes, you're cleaning the crown and the king will be more strict with you if the crown is dirty. But that is a privilege. And if we realize, wow, I get to clean that crown. I get to be part of the inner circle with the Ribono Shel Olam. What a zechus, what a beautiful religion this is. The advantages of Judaism. That should lead us to tremendous simcha. Now, again, it is easy for Mandelstam to say this, having grown up, born in the late 80s, where the economy was doing well, and my parents took me to Miami Beach when I was a young kid in winter break, and I got to go to summer camp. And I'm not judging anyone who grew up in the, you know, generation, as I said, from Lieutenant Birnbaum's mother, who had to work as a waitress on Shabbos. But at the same time, the MS is still the MS. The hashkaf of the Torah needs to be, it is, that our approach to Judaism is, this is a worthwhile religion, and it's worthwhile enough for me to commit to every last letter of the mitzvos, despite the potential punishment. Again, that's not always easy, but I thought it was very appropriate to see what mitzvah is learned out from this pasuk, right? The Torah said you have to worship Hashem b'simcha. Says the Gemara in Erech, and I think the Torah Tumima for pointing to me to this Gemara. Am Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmo, minayin l'ikar shira min haTorah. We know that Leviim, when a korban is brought, sing a song. The Gemara there wants to know, what if you didn't sing the song? Is the shira ma'akev, or is the korban successful without the shira? Not for now. Rav Masna Amar, how do we know that shira is a thing? Mehacha, from this pasuk. Tachas asher lo avadata et Hashem elokecha b'simcha uvetuv levav. Because you did not worship Hashem b'simcha. Ezuhi avodesha b'simcha uvetuv levav, have omer zehu shira. Song is the way to worship God, b'simcha uvetuv levav. Not so long ago, the holy Gaon, the Gadol Hador of Usher Weiss, spoke to the high school Rebbeim of the DRS Yeshiva in the Five Towns, my alma mater, where I went to high school. And Rav Usher Weiss told the Rebbeim in DRS, and I heard this from Rav Kamenetsky Shlita, the principal, the Menahel, the Rosh Yeshiva of Halb, the high school principal, my Rebbe, when he was giving a Parsha Shir shortly after that, I listened to his Friday morning Parsha Shir. And Rabbi Kamenetsky, the Ram Wai Torah, by the way, I highly recommend. I wonder which Mefarsh is going to pick this year. Every year he picks a different parish. Last year he did the Rav, by the way. That's why I often quote the Rav. You might find a similarity between Rabbi Mandelstam's drushes and Rabbi Kamenetsky's drushes. So either way, what did Rabbi Usher Weiss, Shlita, tell the DRS Rebbeim? The most important thing for a machanech is to be happy. The high school boys need to see that the Rebbe is happy. I'll tell you a little bit of an ironic, funny story. I wasn't quick to enter a pulpit rabbi job. Even now that I'm officially, as I speak, giving a shir to Congregation Shomer Torah, I'm rather, we'll say, part-time. I'm nowhere near the stress load of Rabbi Markowitz Shlita. And I also did not necessarily jump in to this position right away. It took me, let's say, a few years for me to open up to the concept of working for a shul. And I asked, we'll say, one of my rebbeim, was not Rabbi Kamenetsky. I said to him, should I join the rabbinate? And, you know, obviously when you're in chinuch, you know, more often than not, you have to get more than one job, etc. And this particular shul rabbi said to me, don't become a shul rabbi, because your talmidim will know how happy you are. And you'll be a more effective machanech if you're happy. And your talmidim will know that you're a happy Rebbe, and you'll make a bigger Kiddush Hashem when you're happy. Once you become a shul rabbi, you're going to have to run to this and run to that, and you're going to be bogged down. So a little bit ironic, as I tell my holy congregants, who I love dearly, right? If you ever call me, you know, it's obviously I feel comfortable. It's Dr. Carr, Rabbi Weintraub, Peter Weissman, Shlita, these are gedolim who know that you always call Rabbi Markowitz when there's an emergency. And we get just to learn Torah on Wednesday nights and Shabbos, right? And you always go out and Rabbi Yudin. You know, if Rabbi Markowitz is not available, call Rabbi Emeritus. You don't want to, you know, speak to a rookie like me. So the truth is, I'm only very part-time. And even when I took this job, I told the shul, like, you know, I'm not looking to really just, you know, jump in right away. It's like a slow transition for me. And Baruch Hashem, it's been a beautiful transition for me, a full year, and I'm looking to take more on at this point. I love it, Baruch Hashem. That being said, it should be noted that Rav Usher Weiss said, you need to be like the Leviim singing Shira. A Rebbe is like the Leviim singing Shira. And that is Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Drash Moshe on Parshas Emor says, why does the Torah say Vayomer Hashem? Emor Lekohanim. Emor Helekohanim. So usually when there's a commandment that Tzivo, it's Daber El Bnei Yisrael. Vayomer, the Gemara says, is a softer lashon. The Gemara Markos. Daf Yud Aleph. Omer Rabbi Chama Brachanino. That Vayomer is a softer lashon. And the idea is, why are the Kohanim commanded in a softer lashon? Because they need to view their job as teaching Torah as a privilege, as something soft, something enjoyable. It's an honor. It's something pleasant to them. And the Kohanim, who are the teachers of the Jewish people, need to view it as a Vayomer and not a Vayidaber. And look what Moshe Feinstein says, that they need to know sheyeda hakohen she michok inyan hagadol avod beis hamikdash. It's a tremendous privilege to work in the Beis Hamikdash. V'lalamed livnei Yisrael Torah Hashem. You're the Kohanim. You get to teach the Torah to the Jews. Tzarich sheyehei alav kol hadvarim kedavar kal meod. It needs to be as if it's very easy. And then he goes on and says, so too for mechanchim. Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Drash Moshe says that needs to apply to people in chinuch as well. He says you need to view it as something enjoyable. Davar noach v'kal v'rach. Something enjoyable. And he says, and if you don't, yoter tov shelo ya'asok b'chinach. Ki eino ro'i lezeh. It's not fit for you. If you don't view Talmud Torah as the most beautiful privilege in the world, you run to your accounting firm. Go get another job. But if you don't view teaching Torah as something enjoyable, beautiful, sweet, and something to wake up for, you better run the other way. And that's a little bit of a personal, you know, makor for me, obviously, as a Rebbe. So Baruch Hashem, that's the way I was built, where I'm happy to, you know, wait for 20 minutes on Zoom, try to figure out what the code was. And kol hakavod to you. I apologize for the tircha tonight. Again, I'm not going to take the blame, but that's the last time we try to change our Zoom code. We'll just say it like that. We'll work it out between now and next Wednesday night. But again, the message of the shiur is there high voltage to this religion? Absolutely. What does our response need to be? Bring it on. Okay, I'm here to stay, Ribon Shalom. I want to keep the mitzvot. So I might not be good at keeping them sometimes, but I want to become better. And punish me if it need be. I don't want to get punished. I want to do tshuva. Please don't punish me. But our view needs to be that we embrace the Torah in its entirety. And no longer should we hear that Yiddish expression that it's difficult to be a Jew. And we should all be zocha to convey to our children and our grandchildren the beauty of this religion. And the more we smile when we teach Mishnayos to our grandkids and our kids, the more successful we will be at passing on our Masorah, our holy Masorah, to the next generation. I'm going to stop the recording. If anyone wants to stay on to chat, you're always welcome.